Hi and welcome to another podcast from The Human Diver, where we are looking to apply counter-errorism techniques in diving. By that we mean human factors and non-technical skills. Our goal is to give you the knowledge and skills so that your dives are safer and more enjoyable. The podcast is a mixture of short podcasts based on the blogs we have and longer podcasts, which will be interviews or discussion topics. Show notes will be provided so you can dig deeper if you want. Ready to jump in? I've read a few comments recently asking about the difference between normalization of deviance and constructive deviation or advancement. In this blog, I will look at the difference between the two and how we can learn, advance, and improve as a diving community in a safe way. What is normalization of deviance? Diane Vaughan coined this term in her book, The Challenger Launch Decision. The book is about the lead up to the Challenger launch, how it was allowed to launch, and the aftermath. She defined normalization of deviance as the gradual process through which unacceptable practice or standards become acceptable. It is also sometimes described as drift. It's really important that we understand that it is not improvement. Normalization of deviance is when previously acceptable standards are ignored or violated so often that the new way of doing things becomes the norm, but it is not a considered choice. Constructive deviation or advancement is done in a very different way. If we want to change the way we are doing things, then it needs to be done in an open way. We declare that we are looking at other ways and researching them. It is done consciously. A great example in terms of diving would be the push towards nitrox. In the mid-80s, nitrox as a breathing gas was becoming more and more popular. However, the risks involved in its use weren't as well known as they are now, and there was very little formal training. This caused people to believe it was a dangerous gas and should be banned. Things came to a head in the early 90s when the trade show DEMA banned the newly formed training agencies who promoted nitrox use. This prompted a workshop to be given to discuss nitrox, educating people and allowing DEMA to rescind the ban. This was done because it wasn't just trial and error that had proved nitrox to be safe, it was done intentionally. There is a difference between safety hazards and acceptable risk. Sometimes that line has to be explored in order to decipher where it should be drawn. Solo diving. Someone recently asked, is solo diving deviant? Well, technically it is the oldest form of diving, the original way of doing it. Equipment was very expensive and there was often only one set of it, so solo was the norm. Therefore, as a form of diving, it can't be considered a deviation. However, there are plenty of times when buddy diving becomes solo diving. In these cases, there has been a drift from the standard practice, which means for sure it is a deviation. Examples include accidental buddy separation, planned buddy separation, for example when two photographers get in together but aren't diving as a buddy pair and quickly separate, otherwise known as same ocean diving, or when divers think they are good enough, so start to go out on their own. In these cases, the situation has drifted from the norm, even same ocean diving, and from accepted safety procedures. One way of looking at the differences is seeing the attitude towards failure. When standard procedures are followed, there are normally fail-safes in position to ensure that if something goes wrong, there are checks in place to first of all pick up on the failure and secondly to prevent it from causing major damage. In diving, an example would be monitoring gas. We should be doing it on a regular basis, but a well-planned dive has considered gas volumes required with a contingency amount in case more is needed and a turn pressure to take that into account. When trying something new, the fail-safes are often increased to allow for mistakes that might not have been thought of. New cave divers are sometimes advised to carry far more reserve than an experienced cave diver, as they are in a new situation, so will likely encounter problems they are unfamiliar or less familiar at dealing with. During drift, the opposite can happen. Divers may start off following established norms, for example, aiming to surface from a recreational dive with 50 bars reserve, but the more they do that and don't have any problems, the more they will push that limit. This tends to happen over a longer period of time as the boundaries are slowly tested. The first time they surface with 40 bars, for example, they may realise this isn't what they had planned and go back to making sure they surface with 50 bars. But over another period of time, as nothing bad happens, they might find themselves intentionally or unintentionally doing the same again. Then as time passes and again nothing bad happens, they may start intentionally doing it. Slowly that 40 becomes 30, 20 and so on. I did a photo dive once with a buddy, where we had agreed that we would begin the return to our exit point at 70 bars. We weren't planning on going very far from it. My buddy signalled me after about an hour that we needed to head back, so we started slowly swimming, continuing to take photos on the way. After a few minutes, my buddy signaled that we needed to stop taking photos and swim a little faster, which we did. Just as we were about to surface, he looked at me and showed me his high-pressure hose, giving it a shake to show me that it was almost completely depressurized. He surfaced with his last breath left in the tank. Afterwards, we had a debrief, and he explained he'd been having fun and could see I was too so didn't give the signal to return until he had 50 bars, as he knew from previous experience he could surface with far less than 50 bars without problems. It turned out that to surface with almost zero bar was normal where he'd been diving before, with the reasoning that as you finished the dive, very shallow and were monitoring your gas, so were aware of exactly how much you had, that it was okay. I asked if any of his buddies had ever had a problem and what the contingency was for if he or the buddy did have a problem. Of course, there wasn't any. He acknowledged that it was wrong, but struggled to change the behaviour as it had become ingrained and he perceived the risk as being low. Summary. Normalisation of deviance is the gradual process through which unacceptable practices or standards become accepted over time. It is not an intentional choice, and it represents a deviation from previously established safe norms. An example is the gradual acceptance of risky behaviours due to repeated success without considering the associated risks. Constructive deviation or advancement is the deliberate and open exploration of new methods to improve safety and efficiency. It involves conscious efforts to research and adopt alternative practices, as exemplified by the push towards using nitrox in diving. Ultimately, the attitude toward failure plays a pivotal role in distinguishing between these concepts. Standard procedures typically include fail-safes to detect and prevent failures, while when trying something new, additional fail-safes are often implemented to account for unforeseen mistakes. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more about what was discussed in this episode, head over to the Human Diver website at thehumandiver.com, where you will find details about our education programs, the If Only documentary, The Book Under Pressure, and the many, many blogs we have published there. If you think others should listen and learn, consider sharing the link. Thank you.